isness defined in relative terms. Ho, 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 ho. That is going to be an interesting conclusion if we can ever arrive at it. Isness defined in relative terms. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Philosophy, University of Healing, and many other things, here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Our topic tonight, isness defined in relative terms. Everything, and in fact, I defined isness many, many centuries ago when I was first starting to write the books on Absolute. And I defined the word isness as going into a meat locker. You know what a meat locker is? It's a place where they store meat. They take animals and they put the I don't want to say arms and legs. they put the arms, I guess, arms and legs and thigh and other parts of the animal and hang it up on hooks in there. Now, you don't know where those pieces came from. It may have all come from one great big cow or something else, or it may be many cows and many calves and many other animals. You know, we have a little hang up here. We see a wild animal go and, like a coyote, chasing a rabbit and eating the rabbit. And we say, oh, isn't that gross? Isn't that terrible? Well, we do the same thing. The coyote is merely going out for lunch. And he's dining out. And he's dining on a rabbit or anything else that he can catch. And sometimes his dining isn't too cool, and so he dines on berries. And he eats the berries. You can tell by the droppings of the coyote what he's had for dinner recently, you know. Now, we go to the store and we buy hamburger, we buy pork chops, where does pork chop come from? It comes from where? Pork. Pork chops, it comes out of the pork loin, you know. Where does lamb chop come from? Out of a lamb. And where does spare ribs come from? It can be pork spare ribs or beef spare ribs come out of a lamb, or it can, the lamb come out of a sheep, or it can come out of a cow or something of that nature. Well, now, here the little old cow is just having himself a ball. He's out in the field eating the grass and enjoying himself so wonderfully. And he's cooling his cud, you know, and just enjoying looking around saying, isn't this a beautiful day? And then the farmer calls him in and puts him in the truck and takes him to the slaughterhouse. And the farmer doesn't even say goodbye to him, you know. Doesn't let the cow say goodbye to his kids and his husband or her husband, whatever, and things like that. They just take him away and take him down to the slaughterhouse. And at the slaughterhouse, they hit him over the head with a sledgehammer. And they hang him up and then they prepare him for people to eat. And people just love to eat him up. And they eat every part of him virtually, you know. They just have a ball. Now, when we talk about it like that, it doesn't sound just too sweet, you know. But, of course, anytime you eat meat, it's not too sweet. Something had to die to give up its body so you could eat meat. Now, we have the slaughterhouse. We have the cool barn. We have the meat locker where the meat is hanging in legs and arms and feet and thighs and whatever else is hanging there. And they're from individuals. And if you were to say, well, now, let's put them all back together again. And let's put the legs. You would never really get them all back together because they come from different cows and different animals. Well, this is how the isness is. The isness are all these individual, unique expressions of the allness, and they're sort of hanging in this meat locker, and the divine comes along and says, give me four legs and, you know, and a body and so forth, and I'm going to put this thing together. And it puts it together. Now you say, well, now that is silly. Well, it's not silly when you think of it as an isness. Everything is unique. Not only everything. Everything. Every cell is unique. Every organ, action, and function are unique. Everything is unique. Now, how in the world can anything starting out from cells like the sperm and the egg getting together and multiplying and becoming a creature, an animal or a man or whatever it may be, and coming into this substantive form that we call an object, you know, we call it a man or we call it a dog or whatever we call it. Where did all this come from? It all came from the uniqueness of the universe. Now, here comes the boomerang. We think that the cells proliferated, expanded to become the legs and the arms and the eyes and the nose and the heart and the lungs and everything else. But they didn't. This is an appearance. And I'll digress for a moment. We think that all of life mutated into whatever it is now. We think that the caveman changed its form to become the human. We think that the fish came up on land from the sea and became the animals. And the animals became the man, and the man became whatever we are today. Now, this is a lovely theory. It is substantiated by possibilities, but it has the same illogical substantiation that the Big Bang theory has, that says out of an atom that didn't exist, all things were formed that are formed. And of course, how does that work? The isness is the uniqueness of each of us as an idea. You see, Ellen here, she thinks that she is this dynamic, positive, forceful woman that has children and that has a life and that has a job and so on, and she isn't. Ellen is just one segment in time, as if you were taking a motion picture and you're clipping out one little segment of that motion picture. That's what Ellen would be. Now, there's many Ellens, this segment, 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 but each segment is her isness. Each segment is her uniqueness and all that it embodies. It is not a dynamic segment. In the allness, in the universal reality, there is no dynamic activity. There is no dynamic action, meaning a continuous action. There is nothing like that. There is only isness in absolute. There is only isness in relative. We conjure it to be activity. We conjure it to be movement from one point to another, but actually it is not. It is only a segment, if you will, a segment in time. Now, what do we call that segment in time? Now. We call it, there is only the now. Now, we are discussing that philosophically and scientifically with ourselves. We are saying, there is only the segment now. And this is the isness, the now. The now that is not the now that's an instant later or instant before, but it's a now of the instant that the now is the now. And of course, there are an infinite number of nows, but each is a now. Now, where do we fit in this? How do we think in this? Each now is an isness, and each now that is an isness has no other purpose to be, except to be what it is on the instant that it is what it is. Sounds fun. Fascinating, doesn't it? Yeah. Very confusing. But that's what it is. You see, when you begin to study absolute and you begin to think in absolute terms, you begin to realize that what science says about the now and what you believe about the now, all time is here and all space is here, it is now. Okay? If you really believe that, which I know you don't, but if you really believe that, then you will be an absolute aware being. But to believe that goes against everything we are taught, everything we observe. I am speaking in so many segments of the now that it is just unbelievable. How would you describe the now if all you are is a snap, a flash? If you're just a picture, you know, and it's a still photography, it stopped. How would you describe it? Well, you wouldn't. In absolute, you cannot describe anything at all because there is no dynamics with which to describe whatever absolute is. Now, that gets complex. That gets sort of way out. But hey, that's what it is. That's what it is. And are you really interested in going into absolute? Really going into absolute now? You read Eckhart Tolle's book on the now. He's written several, and he's writing more. And you read those things on the now, and they are so complex, but nonetheless true. They are so specifically saying that the now is the only time there is, and it's, and you see, even as he describes it to you, even as he causes you to think in that level of understanding, he leaves you with an emptiness. Now, why does he leave you with an emptiness? Why does he leave you with an emptiness as you read his works? Because there is nothing else. You see, the fullness is what we put into things. We put a purpose into things. We put a desire into things. I'm teaching you all to do what?
Be yourself.
I'm teaching you all to give me five statements. And those five statements are the now statements. Those five statements are without purpose. You do things in your life without purpose. You do not do them to yourself. You are the recipient, of course, but you do them to others. I wiped up the spilt milk, or I wiped up the milk from the table. If you say spilt, right away you're putting an emotion into it. I wiped up the milk from the table. I lit the candle. I did these things. Each one of those things is a now experience. And I'm working with you, even though you don't understand what I'm doing. And even though you get so uptight with me because you say, you're heavy. And you're right. You're right. But I'm not as heavy as Eckhart Tolle. I mean, you go study under that boy, and you go boing, 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 you know. Your mind will just be like a far-out zone. But it's good. It's good. He's all right. But everybody loves him. Everybody loves him because he's so intellectual. But he's not intellectual. Everybody loves him because he's so magnificent in his way of saying things and his way of sharing things. But he's not. He is being so simplistic. He is being so unique. He's just a rather remarkable being. And us, we cannot write like that. We cannot express like that because we have to have a purpose for everything. And I'm working with you on writing these ideas so that you come up with purposeless acts, unremembered acts. You did something unconsciously that was a blessing, or maybe it wasn't a blessing. You did something unconsciously to another person that you felt was just a loving gesture, an act of kindness on your part. It may not have been an act of kindness on their part. When Gertrude spits on her hands and wipes it across the forehead of Sabrina, Sabrina doesn't take it as an act of kindness. But Gertrude says, I'm brushing back your hair so it'll stay back at least till you get to school, you know. And so as far as Gertrude's concerned, she's doing a loving gesture, and she is doing it without purpose. She doesn't even think about it. She sees the hair, and whoops, there it goes. If she was next to the sink, she'd probably wet her hand under the sink. She wets her hand under the first water that's handy, you know. It's her spit, you know. And that's not bad. Mothers have done that historically, you know. Mm-hmm. Think of how many kids go off to school and their mother says, didn't you comb your hair, you know? Didn't you do? And they unconsciously do these things. Now, these are unconscious acts of love and kindness. And I'm sharing that with you so that you will get this one-pointedness, so that you will get the fact that you are acting in a one-pointed way, that you are acting in a very special way, in a very isness way, without any purpose, without any motivation. It's just a natural thing within you to do that. Now, think about that. Think about that. Now, all of you, I keep saying now, all of you are very eager to get on with Absolute. And I advise you, don't run so fast. You're going to find yourself in a ballpark. You're going to find yourself in an arena. You're going to find yourself in a thinking system that is going to be so devoid of humanness, so empty of love and kindness and joy, because an isness has no love, kindness, or joy. It's just there. You look at an artist's painting, and that painting is there. You look at a photograph, and that photograph is there. Now, you say, oh, they should have straightened this out. Here, let's straighten that out, you know. They should have gotten this little piece of dust off of there. They should have, you know. But it's over. It's over. That isness stands just the way it is. Now, another isness might stand without this fleck of dust or something. But when we are talking about isness, we are talking about the uniqueness of each expression, each now in our beingness. Now, do you have the capacity? Do you have the capacity to think of the allness being now? Mm-hmm. That sounds very fascinating. If you have the capacity to think of the allness as being now, then you are really a master and a miracle person. Because the allness being now takes such a leap in your awareness, such a grasp of the concept of the nowness, that very few people have that capacity. And the reason that they have that capacity is because they think of it as movement. They think of it as time and space. And the allness doesn't need time and space. What do I tell you? You see, this is a help here too. What do I tell you is going to happen to you when you live in allness? There is no particularness, remember?
Mm-hmm. No individuality.
No individuality. And when you live in the individualities, there's no allness, because you're just the particularization expressing itself as a particularization. There is no now. There is an always. You always do those things. You always say those things. And you see, that's the relative. But when you get a glimpse of Absolute, when you get a glimpse of isness, and when you get a glimpse of allness, I believe we were speaking a little bit about that the other day. Mm. But yes, there, we had it just before the nothingness. But when you get a glimpse of allness, what you're doing, you're completely unaware of the uniqueness. You're completely unaware of the number of steps it takes you to run and catch a train. You don't know. You are doing what Richard Bach had Donald Simoda or somebody say, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, perfect speed
is
being there. It's not the trip, it's not the journey, it's not the motion of your wings, but it's being there. Perfect speed is being there. And that is a fantastic statement about absolute. You see, there are so many wonderful statements that come out of different people's mouths, and you don't really know what it means. You think, perfect speed is being there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you think you're there, and then you're there, there's no time limit, there's no travel, there's no airline tickets, there's nothing, you're there. Now, that's perfect speed. That is an absolute concept. So, think on these things. Think about the isness. The isness is a still, stopped motion picture. It's like taken with our digital cameras. Each digital shot is a shot. And our digital camera also has the ability to take moving pictures for 3 or 4 seconds. And that's quite spectacular, too. And I have taken, Ellen has taken motion pictures of people that she was taking still shots of. And here the people are saying, well, now, when are you going to click the shutter? I don't see the flash going off. They're saying all those things. And she's got the camera open in front of them and has recorded them saying that. And she doesn't know she's doing that. Because there are three steps, three push positions. You can put the thing. You can put it at the still repeat. You can put it at the motion picture. Or you can put it at the take. And you just got to know where you are. And if you're not aware of where you are, you can put yourself out of absolute into relative so quickly. Well, think on these things. They give us a lot to think about, but it's not important to think about it. Because you knowing absolute is not going to make you a better person. It's not going to make life more fun for you. What makes life more fun for all of us is to be ourselves and have fun in whatever area of life we're participating in. And if we feel that we have to go out and prove ourselves and that we have to save ourselves from sin and so forth, then life's no fun. And life is designed to be fun. Life is designed to be a great joy. And always follow your own inner light. Because that's the light that it's all about. Have a lovely evening, and we'll be ready for another journey into absolute tomorrow night. Same time, same station. I love you, I love you, I love you.